What is going on, beautiful people? I am Lee Hammack, the diagnosed self-aware narcissist known as mental illness, and welcome to another episode of The Narcissist Code. This is the first time seeing my face or hearing my voice.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My platform on social media to raise awareness for NPD, get more people into therapy like myself, and also validate the victims, survivors, and thrivers of said disorder, said toxic people, said toxic traits. Today's episode is going to be about how some narcissists and toxic people live vicariously through specific children, through the golden child and whatnot. So before we hop into today's episode, y'all, hop over to Amazon, check out my self-love journal, Lee Hammack, I Love Me, a self-love journal. It's designed to help you rebuild their self-love, their self-worth, and their identity before, during, or after a toxic relationship dynamic. So, narcissistic people living vicariously through their kids. Happens all the time, y'all. They don't live vicariously through every kid, but through the golden child, the child that they lavish the praise on, the child that they probably see, the child that reflects back the best qualities in that narcissistic person. The narcissistic person, the narcissist, the toxic parent or whatever, could very well live vicariously through that child. You know, trying to get that child to complete the goals and tasks that they never could complete themselves. Trying to get that child to do this, to do certain things that they wanted for themselves. It's just like a literally like a little version of themselves. And it happens all the time. Y'all, it literally happens all the time in this dynamic and in this space, where a narcissistic person will just pour all their resources into specific children, typically the golden child, and just try to force them to do things that they want them to do. Now, the kid might not even want to do it, but sometimes the kids do it to make the parent happy. You know what I mean? The kids do it to keep the parent happy. The kids do it to keep the parent, you know, to stay in that parent's good graces, especially if the parent, if they realize that parent is toxic and always on edge of possibly discarding them. Or if they have a brother or sister that is the scapegoat child that gets the brunt, that gets the bad side of the narcissistic person typically, you know, if they see that happening, they don't want to do that. So sometimes they will allow passage for the narcissistic person to live vicariously through them because they fear getting discarded. They fear getting treated badly like their brother or sister or their siblings and whatnot. You know what I mean? So that happens quite a bit in, you know, when you are dealing with a narcissistic parent, you know, especially the golden child. The scapegoat typically sometimes the scapegoat child doesn't get discarded and treated terribly. They just don't get treated as good as the golden child. The golden child is like, you know, gets a big, you know, it's kind of like the golden child gets a bigger helping. If you were serving, if you had a big turkey or a big chicken, a rotisserie chicken, right? The golden child would get served first, and then the scapegoat child still gets to eat, but he gets to eat what the golden child has left over. Like, they didn't eat this, so here you go. Here, eat up. Make sure you get full, scapegoat child. You know what I mean? And that can right there, and when they do that, it can create a weird, I mean, I'm not saying the brothers and sisters or sisters, the siblings hate each other, but sometimes they can create a weird dynamic between siblings that they end up competing for that parent's love and affection and whatnot. Well, the scapegoat child will try their hardest to live vicariously, to allow the parent to live vicariously through them. You know, they see the other child getting all the attention, getting all the praise, getting all the, you know, the love and getting adored and stuff like that. So they start trying to do stuff that they might not even want to do. Let's just say the easiest thing is sports, y'all. The easiest thing for me to talk about is sports. So let's say the toxic parent was good at basketball, but didn't make it that far. But they have a golden child that they see, hey, you just like me, you have the talent, but I'm gonna push you. I had nobody to push me. So they push that golden child to the limit. Even to go to golden child might like football, might like baseball, might like some other sport, but they don't want to do the other sports because the parent wants them to play basketball. But you have the other children, the scapegoat children, that might not even like basketball either, or they might actually love basketball and want to get the attention of their parent. So they start playing basketball and they're really good at it. Sometimes they might be even better than the golden child. But hey, sometimes it doesn't look that way, y'all. I'm just telling you, it works out very, very differently in toxic relationships with narcissistic people, especially when it's your parent, you know, because you want to make your parents happy. I know a lot of kids out there who grow up, you know, wanting to make their parents proud and whatnot. You want to make your parent proud and all this other good stuff. So when you want to make them proud, you work hard. You know, you do what they want you to do. You try to listen to them and whatnot. Even sometimes if they give you bad advice, even sometimes if they're pushing you past your limit, even sometimes if they're forcing you, maybe not physically forcing you, but, you know, emotionally, mentally forcing you to do things that you don't want to do just to kind of keep their attention. You know, so that happens quite a bit, y'all. And in the mind of a narcissistic person, they are, you know, they are happy when, you know, their golden child or the kids that they're pouring their attention to, the kids that they're living vicariously through, they're happy when they're doing well, you know, because they can take credit for that. They can get supply from their kids doing well. If you think about it in that space right there, in that dynamic, you can take credit for the kids doing well. You absolutely can. You know what I mean? You can take credit for the kid. Like, if my kid is doing well and I'm the parent and I'm pouring all this time, effort, energy, and money into him, yeah, I can take credit for that. I can get supply. Whose kid is that out there? Who's number six is dad or mom or whatever? You're like, oh, that's me. That's mine. And sometimes you don't even say it out loud. You're just like, yeah, everybody looking at my kid. But if the golden child who is getting lived vicariously through is not performing well or not doing well or is not reflecting back the qualities that the narcissistic parent wants them to reflect back, they do stand the risk of getting discarded as well, though, y'all. I think you can be downgraded in the life of a narcissistic parent, where you can go from golden child to scapegoat, and the scapegoat might get a promotion in the hierarchy of the narcissistic parent's life. You know, you're actually doing pretty good, whereas your brother or sister is not very good at this. You know, they missed the first spelling word, like a spelling bee or something like that. Your parent was a grandmaster spelling bee champion, and you misspelled onomatopoeia on the first try. So you know you're no longer the golden child. You brought great shame to that narcissistic person, because when narcissistic parents are living vicariously through you, when you experience shame or you experience failure, they experience it more. You see what I'm saying? They just the same way they get good supply from you performing well, they experience shame and get negative feedback, you know, and criticism, and feel like they get personally attacked when you don't do well. Because especially if I've been pouring time, effort, energy, money into you, and you're not doing well, that annoys me. You know what I mean? That's super annoying to me. Like, you just bought, instead of giving me the supply that I need, you bought me shame instead. So sometimes, yeah, if you do that, sometimes it's a one strike you out rule. But sometimes if you do that too many times to a narcissistic person, they will discard you. You know, some of them, like I said, some of them you get one strike and you're out. But some of them, it goes on and on and on. You know, it's a very unique space to be in, a very unique dynamic to be in, which is why I tell people, I'm just like, if you're dealing with a narcissistic co-parent, toxic parent, whatever, you have to, like I said, just be very wary of how they're treating your children. You know, in all ways, you have to talk to your kids. You have to maintain a good, strong emotional connection with your kids, because they can easily be swayed from, especially if you got a narcissistic ex-parent, or if you parented with them, and if you're still married to them or y'all co-parent or whatever, if they have resources, yeah, and they're your child could gravitate towards wanting to be with that parent more. You know, because they want to make their kid proud, they want to make their parent proud and whatnot, so they might gravitate to wanting to be around that parent a little bit more than they want to be around you. And I'm just telling you, I know from experience that that can suck. You know what I mean? That can suck for you as a parent when you have a narcissistic co-parent or partner or spouse, and your child is attached to them. It can suck for you. It really can suck for you in this space, in this dynamic. So I just tell people, I tell a lot of people, just be very, very careful in these situations. You don't, like I said, if you're a narcissistic person that is living vicariously through your kids, you got to chill out with that, y'all. Because kids deserve, you know, our children deserve to grow up better than us, first of all. But they also deserve the chance to have their own identity. If they like basketball and you were great at basketball, then so be it. But if they don't want to do basketball and you're forcing them to do it, that is kind of abusive. It's some toxic, possibly abusive behaviors in that scenario right there. So you have to be, you know, you have to take it, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes, you know, because some of these narcissistic parents will absolutely set you back and try to set you off, you know. But that's the way it goes sometimes, y'all, in these toxic relationship dynamics, in these toxic relationship spaces. Like, narcissistic parents, yeah, some of them will absolutely treat their kids good as long as their kids are doing good, you know. But like I said, if you bring shame to your parent, they're going to bring shame. They're going to take it out on you. They're going to let you know that you brought shame to them, and then they're going to make you feel it. You know what I mean? So you have to be very, very wary when you're dealing with toxic narcissistic parents. Y'all, if you're a kid being raised by a toxic parent and they're living vicariously through you, just be careful. Just, like I said, don't be afraid. Like, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to say. Don't be afraid to be yourself, because they might take it out on you. They might, if you're in college trying to, if they are a doctor and they want you to be a doctor, but you really want to be a lawyer or something like that, or an astronaut or something like that. And if you drop out there, if you change majors, they'll threaten to cut off. They might cut off your finances. You see what I'm saying? If you're old enough to watch this video and think your parent is living vicariously through you, you know, you might be old enough to set some boundaries on them. But also, you know, just think carefully. Make a plan. I'm not telling you to cut your parent off, y'all. I'm just saying, make a plan. If you are doing something that you really don't want to do, just understand you get one life to live, and you don't necessarily want to live it, spend it living somebody else's life. You mean, don't let your life be a do-over for your parent. You see what I'm saying? Don't let that happen, y'all. But anyway, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. Like I said, if you haven't, you have it on Amazon. Go over there and grab this self-love journal, I Love Me, a self-love journal by Lee Hammack. Link is in the description. If you're listening to this on the podcast, hit that 5 stars for me, y'all. Anyways, y'all, like and subscribe for more. Mental Illness is out. Peace.